call the next case.
Hampton versus Commonwealth, Patrick M. Blanch, David Bernhardt, Cheryl E. Gardner, and Thomas Council, Virginia B. Tyson, Senior Assistant Attorney General at Appellate Council.
You may proceed.
Good morning. My name is David Bernhardt, and I am here with my colleague Patrick Blanch, representing the defendant, Mr. Kim. I'd like to reserve 5 minutes of my time for rebuttal.
All right.
This case involves our contention in the context of a conviction for civil refusal that the location, the surface upon which the defendant was found in his vehicle, was not a statutory highway. Whether a surface is a statutory highway is circumscribed by the definition as contained in 46.2100. I'm not going to recount it as it is contained in our brief. However, we suggest that what this court has done and the Court of Appeals has done is provide us through its case law with a template as to how these sort of cases are to be analyzed, whether something is a statutory highway, which of course can contain private roads or private parking lots, depending on the circumstances. I have called it in our brief a purpose and restriction rule. And it basically has two parts. And you would think that this court and the Court of Appeals have been clear enough, but the problem has been out of the circuits. And what judges have done is they are faced with lawyers who make an ad hoc argument. My case is more like this one, my case is more like that one. And the overarching template is lost. Let me provide...
Why do we turn to case law when the statute itself says that the highway must be open to the use of the public for purposes of vehicular travel, and there's a no trespass sign that makes it clear it's not open? So why doesn't the statute provide the answer? I mean, maybe case law bolsters that, but...
The statute absolutely provides the answer. I think it's clear in this case, Justice McCullough. But what I would ask this court to do, if you end up ruling in our favor, is to provide an overall template of analysis for the circuits so that well-meaning circuit court judges have the template.
And was there a no trespassing sign?
Excuse me?
What did the sign say?
The sign not only says no trespassing, it says no trespassing, no loitering. There is a separate towing sign, and you have pictures of them contained in the record in appendix page 11 and appendix page 13.
The other thing is he's in a parking space, right?
Yes. And so, what does the comment? I'm sorry.
I'm just wondering if a parking space is something that is used for the purpose of vehicular travel as opposed to the lanes of travel.
Well, I will submit that in Kim, it is not. You have to picture what we have here. We have a private apartment complex, private roadways, and Mr. Kim is located in a space into which one has to pull in and pull out. That could hardly, as you suggest, Justice McCullough, be considered open for vehicular travel. Members of the public are not going to pull into a restricted spot that where they can be towed for not having a sticker, pull back out, and then go upon their way. So we submit there's both. You must look at the purpose of the road.
Was the no trespassing sign directed to vehicular traffic on the road, or was it in the patch of grassy land?
The no trespass sign, on page 12 of the appendix, you have an overhead. It's kind of hard to discern, but the police officer was asked to mark an X as to all the entry points and when there were no trespass signs. And the record establishes that all entry points for vehicular travel have these signs, no trespass signs, the parking signs. And so I would submit that it's directed at trespassers, whether on foot or vehicle, but certainly the ones on vehicle because they're at all the vehicular entry points.
Did the fact finder make that fact finding, or could we infer the fact finder thought that the trespassing sign had to do with going into the apartment complex itself, not the road, but the complex?
The fact finder did not address it in the way that you are suggesting. She basically found in so many words that because the apartment complex is open 24 hours, that then it was open for vehicular travel. Necessarily, an apartment complex that there's access for 24 hours, but this court has said that you don't have need to have gates for it to be a restricted...
What I'm asking is, this is a fact question.
Yes.
It's no different than if this were a jury trial. And the question is, could a rational fact finder conclude that the no trespassing sign that was in the grassy area apparently directed towards the complex itself was not at the opening where the drive would be, where anybody driving a vehicle would have seen it and thought, I can't go in here, this is restricted. Why couldn't a fact finder under these facts with your pictures and your testimony rationally come to that reasonable conclusion?
Because the no trespassing signs are located at the entry points. They're not located on... they're located on facing vehicular traffic that's coming in. And on the side, on the right side of where vehicular traffic is coming in, they're not located throughout. They're located at all the entry points and accesses. And for obvious reasons, that we, you know, so that the complex can eject vehicular traffic. We have... The point I'm making is if you look at all the case law, we've cited about 8 cases on both sides. There is a rule looking for the... there's a rule, a purpose. What is the purpose? And I would just quickly go through 4 cases that tell you what the rulings have been as to, you know, looking at the purpose. In the following 4 cases, this court or the Court of Appeals have ruled that the surface was not a statutory highway for the following reasons. In Prilliman, 1957 case, we're talking about a service station parking lot. There were no particular signs there. In Kaplan versus Bogart, one of the a case that, you know, certainly surveyed the case law for the circuits, we were talking about an entrance to a parking lot, to a restaurant. In Flincham, a 1997 case, we were talking about parking lots adjoining a sporting goods store, repair shop, trespass sign only in front of the auto repair shop. And in Roberts versus Commonwealth, it was a 7-Eleven parking lot with no sign. Now, the confusion arises in the second part of the test, because in Justice McCullough's point, looking at the restrictions, what happens is a lot of the restriction cases that we have, this court and the Court of Appeals have said, this is a statutory highway because of the absence of restrictions. We're looking at the other side of the coin. And so in K Management, 1980 case, quote from that, there is no evidence that the streets or roadways of the complex were restricted exclusively to the private use of apartment dwellers or those persons who visited them. There's no evidence that access was denied to the public by security guards, gates, warnings, or signs. Furman versus Call, 1987 case. By this court. Access by the public was never denied by guards, gates, or any other device. The only signs read private property, no soliciting, emphasis. Clearly, the purpose of the signs is to prohibit soliciting, not the entry of motor vehicles operated by members of the public.
May I briefly interrupt you again?
Yes.
On JA-13, the sign that says no trespassing clearly appears to be directed towards a walkway and a grassy or shrub area. There are signs on a pole that is directly at the edge of the road. Does that say no trespassing, or does that say something else?
Let me turn.
This is JA-13.
On page, is that, 13, I'm sorry. You're talking about the second sign?
Yeah, there's a sign on the right that has a big no.
Right.
We know from other pictures that says no trespassing at some point. If that's pointing not down the road, but towards the right, where the grassy road area is. There's another sign that's directly in the view of the traveling vehicle. What does that sign say?
It's a stop sign, but a private one, not one that conforms to the state law. But then it talks about private parking by permit and towing.
Okay, so that doesn't have no trespassing in it.
I don't believe that in itself has... I don't believe it has the words no trespassing.
So why couldn't a fact finder, including me, if I were a fact finder, look at that and say, okay, I can drive in here, but I better not get out of the car and walk through this place or I'll get arrested for trespassing, but I can drive through here. Because the sign that's directed to me is on this pole, not the one pointing towards the grass. Why isn't that a rational interpretation? You may disagree with it, but...
Because if you read it with the second sign, it says no loitering. So they are prohibiting people from coming in for a purpose other than a purpose that is...
You can drive through without loitering. You can drive through just looking at apartments. Or you drive through to meet a friend. You don't have to loiter.
Well, if you certainly could go in to meet a friend, and you certainly could go in for the restrictive purpose of discerning whether you want to maybe live there, but you could be ejected if you were confronted by a police officer or by a person there. You could be asked your purpose, and you could be told, did you read the sign? You know, leave. So it is restricted. It is not an unrestricted circumstance.
Counsel, wasn't the testimony that the private property no trespassing sign that's on page 11 posted at all the entrances? Was that the sign they were talking about when they said it was posted at all the entrances?
Yes, at all the entrances.
The
no trespassing, no loitering.
Page 19. There are multiple road signs, stop signs, no trespassing, no loitering, and no soliciting signs within the complex and at its entrances. So that's what the trial judge signed. That was the agreed statement of fact.
That's correct.
Okay.
So there's a no trespassing sign here pointing this direction, and there's a no soliciting sign there pointing down the road.
Well, it's hard to discern exactly... I would submit that since that all a no trespassing sign has to have, it has to be visible, what its exact direction, as long as it's visible by the person accessing that point, I think it prohibits all trespassing. I see that I'm losing my time here. I'm down to 3 minutes. I'd like to reserve if I may.
All right.
Thank you.
May it please the court, Virginia Tyson for the Commonwealth. Now, the trial judge did not err in finding that Nathan Hale Drive is a highway under 46-2-100. That is, it's a way open to the use of the public for vehicular travel. And the trial judge relied on certain facts, and I'd like to share what those are. And there are additional facts that support her finding. She found, and this is at page 27 and 30, which are the denials of the motions to strike, the judge's ruling was informed by these facts. There was no evidence that this road was closed at any time. There was no evidence that a motorist passing through had been charged with trespass. There was no sign that said private road only for...
Maybe residents. The signs were effective.
Your Honor, this was a point that was in the Seaburn case as well. It's footnote 1 in the Seaburn case from the Court of Appeals that in looking at how a road is used, you can look at whether the apartment complex was interested in keeping motorists from driving through or more interested in people not coming and staying and loitering and soliciting, which were also on that sign.
The trespassing signs weren't terribly effective with respect to the apartment complex because there was considerable number of arrests there.
The officer testified that he had made arrests in the apartment complex.
But no one has ever enforced it or attempted to enforce it vis-a-vis vehicles going down the open road.
What we have is a lack of evidence, Your Honor. There was no testimony that those arrests had been made, and that the trial judge hung her hat on
Well,
on
we
that.
Don't know whether the people who were arrested walked in.
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
The people who were arrested, maybe they did walk in, so it wouldn't implicate whether they drove in.
Your Honor, that is not that was not developed in the record in this case.
But it's sort of contrary to human experience to have to all the residents of this apartment project. I'm sorry, you cannot have your mother, your friend, your employer drive here and pick you up.
That's right. That would be a very odd thing.
Wouldn't those individuals be invitees rather than trespassers? At least they are there under some claim of right.
Your Honor, if in fact they were, the resident knew they were coming, yes, that's true. But I want to point to something else that I think is also important, and this is one of the exhibits in the case. And if you look at the record in this case rather than the appendix, the pictures are much clearer. And that is that this is not a cul-de-sac. This is not a dead end. This is not a parking lot. This is a thoroughfare, and it connects up with, for lack of a better term, VDOT roads. There's a VDOT road. Which
but if it's a thoroughfare that has a no trespassing sign at the beginning of the thoroughfare, why doesn't that then indicate, much like the commercial parking lot establishments, that the management company has reserved the right to itself to determine who can come in? And in Perlman, we indicated that if they can reserve the right, we were talking about a business there, but if they can reserve the right to determine who can come in to terminate access at will, then it's more of a private road than a public highway.
Ingram, the huge difference between this and Perlman is, of course, that Perlman was a parking lot.
Yes, it
and
was.
And that it was not 24/7 open. It was open when the business was open. And the business could go out of business. The business could decide who is coming in. The purpose of going to the business was to, in fact, do some sort of
But if management reserves to itself the right to exclude the driving public, doesn't that mean it's not a highway?
I don't believe that it does, Your Honor. In looking at the definition of highway, which, of course, is 46-2-100, we're looking at the issue, question, the test, is whether it's open to the use of the public for purposes of vehicular travel. And in this instance, the evidence we have in the record is that it was, that someone might go from the Patriot Drive, which is a VDOT road, and use Nathan Hale.
Someone can or does.
Someone can or does.
In other words, I mean, there might be a no trespass sign, but people just go through constantly. And is there that kind of evidence?
But that's important. I think that's the Seaborn footnote, is that the apartment complex may choose to enforce the trespassing with regard to people coming on the sidewalks and banging on the doors, and the fact that
or driving down the street.
I'm sorry.
Or driving down the street.
Your Honor, I think that it is a possibility, but it's not what's in the record that happened in this case. And what we're looking at is what happened in this case. And there's a school, Braddock Elementary School, that is on Commons Drive, which is actually an Avent Road rather than.
Is that? I can't see that on my.
It's not as clear in the appendix. The pictures didn't turn out as well in the appendix as they are in the.
If we pulled up the trial record, would it be? Because sometimes in the reproduction of the appendix,
yes, sir. It is absolutely. That's where I got this. It's from the trial record.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Can I ask you a threshold question? This statute is odd in that a first offense is civil and then subsequent offenses are criminal. Would we apply the rule of lenity in a situation where, I mean, in this instance, it's a civil proceeding, but subsequent proceedings could be criminal if there were to be subsequent proceedings? Does the rule of lenity apply to our construction of such a statute?
I don't believe so. I think that this particular statute, if you're talking 46-2-100, obviously, that has been used in...
And so what that sets up is the incongruity where depending on... It's the exact same statutory language, but if you're here civilly, we don't put our thumb on the scale, but if you're here in your criminal capacity, rule of lenity applies, and if there's ambiguities, we construe those against the Commonwealth, et cetera. And I'm just trying to figure out what we do with such a statute.
No, I don't think that is a concern for the court, simply because the highway definition rule, which is the entire width between the boundaries, including parking spaces, I would say, in a way that is open for public use. And the public...
So it's unambiguous. We don't have to worry about rule
no.
lenity.
Counsel, I'd like to get back to the parking area aspect, and you used that as the basis for distinguishing Perlman. Does it matter in this instance, I think I know what your answer is going to be, but does it matter that this is a front-in, back-out parking area? This is not a street where you have parallel parking along the street. In essence, what you have here is both a way, and the issue is whether the way is a highway, and parking essentially a parking lot on either side where you can pull in and pull out. And he was in the parking lot portion. So I'm wondering just how distinguishable this really is from Prilliman under the facts that are in front of us.
Well, I would say that the defendant should not be in a position to determine whether Nathan Hale Drive is a street or not, because he actually pulled in and parked within the boundaries of
the way. Yeah, there's no way he could have gotten into the parking place without going across the way. I am aware of that.
And
well, do we know he was driving before?
He was operating the vehicle at the time that they stopped him. I don't know beyond that where he had been previously. Okay. The record doesn't make that
Was there any suggestion by him that somebody helicoptered him in there?
There was no suggestion.
Or that someone drove him in there, kept the thing running, pushed him up against the curb.
Was he a resident of the complex?
I do not believe so. I believe that the record is
I think we can take judicial notice that he had to have used the way in order to get to where he was.
Counsel, you mentioned the school. Can I tell from that map whether you can access the school from Commons Drive? Can I tell from the map whether you can access the school, whether vehicle traffic can use Commons Way, Commons Drive, to get to the school?
Yes. I think that you can. You can Nathan
I could
Hale
not
to
tell
Commons.
That.
And then the Braddock Elementary School, you can see, is on Americana and Commons. Those are the cross streets for the school. And so certainly this is on its way to that public elementary school. I think it's important, additionally, these are not factors that the trial judge relied on.
Can I stop you for a second?
Yes, sir.
Because at the beginning, you were giving us a list of things that the judge found, no evidence of road closed, no arrest, drive for trespass, but I don't think you finished.
I didn't, and thank you, Your Honor. This is a named street. It is. It has a stop sign. It has a street sign. It has a curb. It has a sidewalk. It's not a dead end. It connects to other VDOT streets. There are no barriers. There are no security guards. And the reason that I picked out all of those is when we look at the civil cases that both sides have relied upon, these are factors that have been viewed by this court and the Court of Appeals in determining whether something is a highway, whether it is open to the public for vehicular traffic. And
Ms. Tyson, I'm going to raise my hand instead of interrupting you, all right? What's our standard review? Obviously, whether it's a highway is a legal question. But you're going through all of these things that are factual calls. So if we have to review this case and we say the trial judge found that this was not a parking lot, that's factual, isn't it? The trial judge found that motorists could go through it at will. It's a factual call. So are we permitted to contest all of these factual findings without finding that it was plainly wrong or without evidence to support it?
Yeah, the factual findings are entitled to deference.
Well, the reason why I ask is that it seems to me that this trial judge was very, very careful to look at all of the findings that had been made by the Court of Appeals and the Supreme Court that support the legal conclusion that this is a highway.
Yes, sir.
And she found practically every single one of them as a matter of fact.
She did make a number of factual findings on pages 27 and page 30. And in fact, one of the findings that she made with regard to the second motion she described, and this would be on page 30, was that the parking sign was not dispositive of whether this was a way open to the public or not, particularly because the VDOT roads can have parking restrictions on them. And so that was not something that caused...
Let me interrupt you for a second. Following up the chief's point, she made a specific... The only thing I see in this case that suggests it's not open to the public is a trespassing sign.
Correct.
The trespassing sign, we all see the same picture. The fact finder, not the appellate judges, get to make the call on how to infer from that. She said in her holding that the signs do not... None of the trespassing signs do not say, quote, private road only for the use of the residents or any other indicators solely for use of the owners or those having implied permission of the owners. Accordingly, the judge found Nathan Hale Drive to be a highway under K and Furman and denied the motion to strike.
Yes.
So now the question is, when we look at the signs, you drive in and you have a sign right there to your right, to your 90-degree right, 45-degree right, 90-degree right, And it looks like it's set as pointing towards the apartment complex, and it says apartments, private property. Not lane, not road, but apartments, which is where everyone gets arrested for trespassing. No trespassing. Then you get a sign on the road within a foot on the side of the road, and it says private property, no soliciting. Well, if I were arrested for trespassing driving down that road, I think I would win that case, because that's incredibly confusing, and this fact finder said that this sign is not the same as this sign, and this sign is not enough to eliminate public use of this. Why isn't that a fact question in the whole case right there? Because that's the only thing they have.
Your Honor, the court did make the finding that there was not a sign that said private drive, no use only for the apartment residents. And she also found that the other sign, which limited parking, was not dispositive.
And but more importantly, the no trespassing sign, which says the apartment complex is private,
Your
that's
Honor,
limited to not trespassing in the apartments, in the complex of the apartments.
It does say that. And the sign also says no soliciting and loitering with the trespassing.
I'm sorry, are you saying, counsel, that the no trespassing sign says you cannot go into the buildings? Is that what you're saying?
No trespassing sign says specifically, Avant Apartments, private property, no soliciting, loitering.
Right, I understand what the sign says. My question is, are you interpreting that sign to say you cannot go into the building? It's limited to not going into the building
or being
on the grass.
I'm not saying that. I think that would be too broad. But I think that what the sign does say is that you're not to come and stay. You're not to trespass, loiter, and solicitor. You cannot come. This is what we're enforcing. And I come back to that footnote in Seaborn.
But the trial judge's point is it doesn't say you can't go on the road. If you just drive on the road, that's not trespassing.
It does not say private road.
The trial court says it doesn't say private road. We're interpreting the statute. Would it be up to us? Factual finding, it doesn't say private road. But wouldn't it be up to us to determine whether that's dispositive with regard to whether this is a highway? Wouldn't that be a de novo review of us construing the statute?
Your Honor, I think that the combination of the standard review here is this, that the trial judge's factual findings are entitled to deference.
Absolutely.
By this court.
Absolutely.
And the ultimate decision of whether those factual findings support her conclusion that it is a highway is subject to de novo review. The clink in the armor, if there is one, is that there is a definition of highway in the statute. It's not one of those statutes where we have to...
There's also a definition of private road. Every way in private ownership, which this is, used for vehicular traffic, which this is, by the owner and those having express or implied permission from the owner, but not by others, express or implied permission from the owner.
And, Your Honor, if I may respond to that
yes,
question,
please.
Although I'm out of time, that private ways can be highways, and that has certainly been this court's finding in many of the civil cases that we cited with regard to the condominium office complex and the apartment complex case, that the fact
none
that
of which had the sign that's in this
did
case.
Not have that particular sign. They've had some signs, but they did not have this sign. That is correct. But based on the entire record, we would urge the court to affirm the trial court's finding in this case and uphold the conviction.
Rebuttal.
Let me first answer Justice Kelsey's well-reasoned bringing up of the issue of where the signs are posted. And so if this court adopts the Commonwealth's position, then you would be overruling the Flinchum case. In the Flinchum case, the business, the parking lot was not all covered. There was one no trespass sign in front of one of the businesses. It wasn't even at the entrance. So if this court goes down that road, you're going to have a lot more litigation as to when something is a highway. People will be arguing that everything is a highway.
Actually, my question was very narrow. My question is, as succinctly put, is this. Could a fact finder look at the picture I just looked at and hear the testimony that I read and conclude that neither the text nor the location of the no trespassing sign applies to the road?
Right. And I've answered in the best way I can, and my position is the fact finder cannot. Now, much has been said here about the word thoroughfare. This is not a thoroughfare. This is a parking spot, as Justice Mintz pointed out, into which one pulls in off of a thoroughfare.
But don't we? But we have to presume that the individual had been on the thoroughfare or the way or the highway or whatever it is.
No, you do not. On page 12, on page 27 of the record, contrary to the assertion of the Commonwealth, it is identified that he was a resident. So he could have parked the vehicle there earlier. He could have.
And he wasn't followed by a cruiser and pulled into parking space. A tow truck was called because he's sitting there in his car in a parking space.
So he's on the side.
So your theory is that he may have been kicked out of his apartment
and go drink
gone and been so troubled by it that he drank himself silly, then got into his car, decided to use it as a bedroom, but it was cold, so he turned it on. But in the past, haven't we, I'm thinking to our DUI cases, doesn't the fact that you are present with the engine running imply that you were operating on, if indeed this was a highway?
No, the operation is not an issue here. He would be deemed operating. As I put in the footnote of the brief, you know, certainly he could be arrested and convicted of DUI. But the question is, on those, was this a highway for purposes of the refusal statute? I would also point out that the word, the judge seemed to say there's no evidence that was said that it was a private road. The sign says private property. Private property includes road. One can be no clearer. If we only said private road, then it might be more narrow. The no trespass signs say it is a private road, restricted, and if you adopt...
Well, actually, the sign says apartments, private property.
Private property.
And if I were driving down that road, I guess I would be, under your scenario, arrested for trespassing, because the sign that faces me as a driver doesn't say that. It's the sign that faces me as I'm going onto the complex that says that.
The record, I see my time is up, but just to respond, the record shows the words beyond the two signs that you have, exemplar signs. The words of the police officer is that all entrances were marked with these no trespass signs. And this was just an exemplar that all entrances, including the entrances that would lead to roads that lead to the school.
All right. Thank you very much. Call the next case.